Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I know of a missionary who, when he is asked to describe what his work looks like in his mission field, says that he is both everywhere and nowhere. And in our account this morning from the book of Acts, we have somebody who's kind of like that, because he is both everyone and no one. Philip finds himself being drawn by the Holy Spirit to the route from Jerusalem down to Gaza. This is a map I would have had to paint in your mind maybe even a year ago, but now you probably have a picture of it if you've been looking at any newspaper articles or websites. Philip is one of the six deacons that are called in Acts chapter 6 to assist the apostles in their ministry, which means he's not an apostle. He's not really a pastor. He doesn't have a flock. He's kind of an evangelist. We're not really sure what a deacon is, which makes sense because even today it's hard for people to explain what a deaconess or a deacon actually does, at least in our church body. And so Philip, who is neither apostle nor pastor, sort of evangelist, called a deacon, whatever that is, runs into somebody who's kind of similar. He runs into a man who is a high official from the Ethiopian government, one of the great empires of Africa at the time. But he has just come back from Jerusalem, where he was worshiping in the temple. He's also, let's not mince words, castrated, which means he's missing some rather vital parts, which means he really can never become a full Jew. And he has no name, just a description, an Ethiopian eunuch, a high official in Queen Candace's treasury. He's wealthy, which means he has a high position, and yet physically poor, literally. So obviously he has no family and no descendants. And this is a time when you're judged by your family in terms of what wealth you have. How many kids do you have? How many grandkids and great-grandkids? He's well-placed in the government. Treasurer, even in our day, financial minister is usually second only to the prime minister in terms of power and authority. And yet at the same time, he is an outsider. Can you imagine, as a man, being around him? It'd be kind of give you the willies a little bit, remind you of the different turns that life could take. Is he the kind of person you want to invite to your party? I don't know. He's worshiping at the temple, but clearly a Gentile. And he wants to know God, but he's told by the very scriptures of that God that he cannot know him because he is broken physically and cannot be fixed. He isn't even a Roman on top of everything. He's from Africa and an Ethiopian. The point I would have you see in all of this is that he fits no category. In the same way that we can't give Philip a title, except maybe Brother Philip, we don't know where to slot this Ethiopian eunuch into our framework of the world either. The good thing about that, of course, is that you can find yourself in this Ethiopian eunuch if you want. There's something there for everyone to identify with, even if as a package deal, he seems like no one. Kind of made me think of Paul's statement in his first letter to the church in Corinth, where he said, "Consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise, not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth." In other words, some were wise and some weren't. Some were powerful, some were not. Some were noble and some were not. And so in the same way as us, and the same way the church in Corinth, so is the Ethiopian eunuch, both everyone and no one at the same time. Until Jesus makes him someone. Philip doesn't come up to him on the road and say, "So what's your category? How do I minister to you? Where do I slot you into my worldview? Are you a well-educated Jew? Are you a Gentile? Are you... How do I share the good news of Jesus with you?" He just does it. He tells him, and of course this is the motto for Ascension Lutheran Church, the good news about Jesus. We don't know everything that Philip shared with him. I'd love to know. I think every evangelist and missionary would love to have the blow-by-blow of exactly how Philip got from Isaiah chapter 53, the servant song that we hear on Good Friday, to this Ethiopian eunuch desiring baptism. But we do know that he started from Isaiah, and so I'm guessing he went through Isaiah to connect him with Jesus. I personally like to believe he might have shared these words from Isaiah chapter 49. "And now the Lord says, 'It is too light a thing that you should be my servant and raise up the tribes of Jacob and bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised and abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out, to those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways, on all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them, for he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Syene.'" The Lord promises that when his servant comes, when his Christ comes, when Jesus finally comes, he will take both kings and those who are in darkness, both well-placed people and those in desolate places, the hungry, the thirsty, those near and those far, and make them his. Take everyone's and no one's and make them someone's. Even as far as Syene. Now, where the heck is Syene? Well, it turns out Syene is a town in Upper Egypt near the border of Sudan, and it would have been impossible for this Ethiopian eunuch to return home without passing through there. That's why I believe that Philip must have used this passage as he shared the good news. Now that brings us to Ascension. Here at Ascension, we meet all sorts of people, none of whom fit into the normal categories. When I go to conferences with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have a model of what new people coming into a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church are supposed to look like, how much money they're supposed to have, what their background is supposed to be. In fact, every time we're preparing for a baptism, I'm reminded of this when I go through all of the fancy word is rubrics, which is basically instructions for how to do a baptism. Because all of the instructions have to do with babies of Lutheran parents being brought to that font. And you all know how many times I, in the 9 years I have been here, have baptized babies, which is not very often. In fact, the first time I had to do it in a long time, I think, was for the blouse, and I had to go and revise my memory of how to baptize an infant. It's the minority of the baptisms that we have here. We're often asked, missionaries, we go to conferences, well, what language do you work in? What do we say? We're often asked, what people groups do we work with? What do we tell them? We work like Philip with whoever we happen to meet on the road going from Jerusalem to Gaza. And Philip, when he runs into that chariot, isn't obsessed with who he sees. Whether he's an everyone or a no one, all he sees is someone for whom Jesus has died, who's been redeemed by Christ, and that the Spirit wants to make his home in. And finally, when he asks that question, what's to prevent me from being baptized? Philip can give that great and glorious answer, nothing and no one. I will make you a someone because you are everyone that Jesus has come to save. When I was a page at Queen's Park in Toronto, many, many years ago, we had special tutors because they didn't want us for the 5 weeks, 6 weeks that we were out of eighth grade to fall behind in school. So we got some special background education in between times that we spent on the floor of the legislature. And I always remember our music teacher who introduced us to modern music, like Murray Schafer's Epitaph for Moonlight. If you've never heard it, you can go on the internet now and look it up. It's something else. But we kept bugging this particular teacher about what his background was. How did he end up here at the Ontario Legislature teaching a bunch of grade 8 pages music? Had he ever done anything famous? Because, of course, as 8th graders, that's what we wanted to know. And finally, probably after 4 or 5 weeks, we wore him down to the point he said, "There's probably one thing I have done that you know." We said, "What's that?" He said, "I'm the one who sang the Speedy Muffler commercial jingle." And if you remember the Speedy Muffler commercial jingle from the 1980s, at Speedy, you're a somebody, we fix your muffler expertly, guaranteed to take you far as long as you will own your car. It's always stuck in my brain. That was his name, claim to fame. That's what made him a somebody, was that he sang about how at Speedy, you're a somebody. Well, if Speedy Muffler can make you a somebody, let me tell you, so can Jesus. With Jesus, you are never an everybody or a nobody. You are always a somebody. Whether you are an Ethiopian eunuch traveling back from a temple in Jerusalem, or just a Montrealer going back to your work or apartment or school after worship, you are known by name to Christ. Baptism is for you, was for you, will always be for you. And it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, de vieille souche, or Ethiopian, or Indian, or Canadian. It doesn't matter if you're physically fit or not quite whole. It doesn't matter how close or far you think you are from God. The good news of Jesus is that you are someone because of what he has done for you. And in baptism, he calls you by name. You are never a nobody. You're never just everybody. You are somebody in Christ. In his precious name, amen.